4. I read to you Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 27, the whole chapter. Proverbs chapter 4. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore, get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun, that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we come once again before your throne of grace by the blood of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. We come because of your mercies towards us, Lord. You have not dealt with us according to our sins or transgressions or iniquities. You dealt with us according to your tender mercies. And we thank you, blessed Lord, for leaving glory for us. O Lord Jesus, you left glory, you came. You shed your blood on the cross to forgive us of our sins, to give us the free gift of eternal life. We thank you, Lord. You gave us eternal life. And in your sinless body, you bore the very wrath of God so that we could be forgiven. We thank you, blessed Lord, that you were wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Punishment of our peace was laid on you. It is by the blows that cut into your body, by those wounds, by those stripes, we have been healed. And we thank you that we can come before your throne, seek your face, call upon your holy name. For you are the Lord who is there for us. And your word says, if God be for us, who can be against us? So, Lord, we pray this evening, that you would open our eyes as we look into the pages of your word. We pray that you'll open our eyes to perceive wonderful truths out of thy holy law. Write your word, yes, Lord. Write your word upon our minds. Write your word upon our hearts. Transform us into the image of your Son. O come, Holy Spirit. Do this, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we said last time that the emphasis in chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4 in the book of Proverbs is on the blessings that God's people enjoy when they walk on the path of wisdom. The blessings that God's people enjoy when they walk on the path of wisdom. And the path of wisdom leads to life, but the way of folly leads to death. And when you walk on the path of wisdom, you enjoy three wonderful assurances. When you walk on the path of wisdom, you enjoy three wonderful assurances. Number one, wisdom protects your path. We saw that in Proverbs chapter 2. Number two, wisdom directs your path. We saw that in Proverbs chapter 3. And number three, wisdom perfects your path, Proverbs chapter 4. And today we will look into the third assurance, wisdom perfects our path. Wisdom perfects our path. Now the key verse in chapter 4 is verse 18. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 18. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. That shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. Now this is the picture of the sunrise. The picture of the sunrise. The NIV says the first gleam of dawn. The first gleam of dawn. So the picture is that of the sunrise. And then the increasing of the light on the path of the pilgrim as the day advances. In other words, if you walk in the way of God's wisdom, if you walk in the path of wisdom, the path gets brighter and brighter, and there is no sunset. And when the path ends, we step into a land where the light never dims, for there shall be no night there. It says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 5, there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So God has a plan for each one of us, and that is a plan that you and I need to learn to walk in. And he gives us wisdom. As we walk in that path, he gives us wisdom. God has a plan for each of his children. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So this plan for each of his children is foreordained by God. It is planned by God. So it is important that we, his children, each of us, we find out what God's plan is for our lives and we walk in it. And as we walk in that plan, that path, God gives us wisdom. That is God's will. That is God's will for each one of us. Now, if we walk in his wisdom, we can confidently say, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Psalm 138, verse 8. Remember, we studied that psalm. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. When we are walking in the path that God has chosen for us, the path that God has planned for us, and we are walking in the wisdom that God gives us, and we can confidently say, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Now, our path may not be an easy path, but it will always be a fulfilling path as we walk in the will of God, because we are in the center of the will of God, and we are walking in the wisdom that God gives. How can we know? How can we know God's will for our lives? How can we know God's will and how can we do it? Now, this involves three responsibilities on our part. Each of us, God has a plan, God has a path for us to follow. He gives us wisdom so that we can walk in the path in his will. But how do we know? It involves three responsibilities. Number one, we must know God's word. Knowing God's word, Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. Number two, we must trust God's providence. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 10 to 19. Number three, we must obey God's will. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 27. Knowing God's word, let me read to you verses 1 to 4. Knowing God's word that is found in Proverbs 4, verses 1 to 9. Let me just read verses 1 to 4. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Now, some children, they don't like their father saying, now back when I was a boy, when I was young, some children don't like that. But the fact is that they might learn a lot if they just paid attention and listened to what father has to say. Because he learned wisdom from his father. And now he's passing that wisdom on to the next generation. So this is the primary way that God has ordained for his truth to be preserved and invested from generation to generation. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 3 to 9, we read, Deuteronomy 6, verses 3 to 9, listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. What does this mean? This means that we are to teach our children God's word, God's instruction, and this we must continually do throughout the day as we go through events, every daily event. As we go through each of the circumstances in each day, we need to keep teaching our children. The Apostle Paul instructs the children in the book in Ephesians chapter 6. He's instructing the children in the Ephesian church. And what is he saying? Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Writing to Timothy, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded, is in you also. Apparently, Timothy was brought up with godly instruction. From childhood, Timothy was brought up in godly instruction. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, and the things that you heard from me, this is what the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, the things that you heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So instruction that we receive from God's word, we need to grasp, we need to apply in our own lives, and we must teach these truths. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So that's how Timothy was brought up. From childhood, he knew the scriptures. He knew the holy scriptures. Then Paul tells him in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. For what reason? Verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So all of scripture is inspired by God. Inspired by God, it's infallible, it's inerrant, and it is for us, for reproof, for correction, profitable for doctrine, that is teaching, for us to understand, for instruction in righteousness, so that we may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. In other words, that we would have wisdom for every work that God has planned for us. Now, children who have godly parents and grandparents, what must they do? They ought to give thanks to the Lord for this rich heritage. Rich heritage of godly parents, godly grandparents. And not scoff at that heritage and not abandon that heritage. You know, sometimes that happens. Children who are brought up with a godly heritage, sometimes they just scoff at that heritage that they have, godly parents, godly grandparents, and then they walk away. They abandon that heritage for the way of the world. One of the most dangerous things to do. Receive that heritage with thanksgiving. Thank God for godly parents and godly grandparents, and receive that with thanksgiving, and apply what you're taught from childhood into your own life. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. You know, Proverbs 4, verse 5 says, get wisdom. Get wisdom. So that suggests buy wisdom, because the Hebrew word carries the idea of actually a commercial transaction. There is a price to pay, in other words, if you want to know God's truth and obey it. Buy the truth and sell it not, Proverbs 23, verse 23. So parents and grandparents can teach us, but what must we do? We must cash in on that teaching. Only we can receive the word into our hearts. They can teach us, but we must receive the word. We must cherish the word of God. And that is paying the price to obey it. Yes. Yes. Receive. Receive. Cherish. And pay the price to obey. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 6 to 9. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. This is speaking about wisdom. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory she will deliver to you. So the father tells his sons to treat wisdom the way that they would treat their mother, their sister, or their wife. Love her, honor her, embrace her. Exalt wisdom, exalt her. Now the question is, have you hugged wisdom today? In Proverbs, wisdom is personified as a woman who invites us to that lavish banquet that she has prepared. While folly is the adulteress or the prostitute who tempts us to poverty and death. Wisdom is personified as a woman who invites us to her lavish banquet. Folly is the adulteress or the prostitute who tempts us to poverty and to death. Now, the one you love is the one who will control your life. The one you love is the one who will control your life. Either you love wisdom or you love folly. Embrace wisdom and you will have security. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 6. Do not forsake her. And she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Embrace wisdom and you will have security. Embrace wisdom and you will have honor. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 8. Exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. So embrace wisdom and you will have honor. Embrace wisdom and you will have true beauty. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 9. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. So embrace wisdom and you will have true beauty. Embrace wisdom and you'll have security. Embrace wisdom and you'll have honor. Embrace wisdom and you'll have true beauty. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Proverbs 4, verse 9. Now the second responsibility that we have in finding God's will for our lives and doing God's will is trusting God's providence. That's our responsibility. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 10 to 19. Let me just read to you verses 10 to 13 again. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 10 to 13. Hear my son and receive my saying, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. So when you receive God's truth into your heart, what happens? God renews your mind. Your mind is renewed. You begin to think the way that God wants you to think. And this is very important. It is so important to meditate upon God's word, because only when we do so, our mind is renewed. Only then can we think the thoughts that God wants us to think. Meditate upon God's love letter, God's holy word. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. And then, the renewal of the mind. Paul says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you. How does God transform you? Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So when you meditate on the word of God, what happens? The mind, the four walls of your mind, all that which was written and impressed on the mind earlier is scraped away, and God's word is imprinted on your mind. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. So that's how you know God's will. You know God's word. You write your God's word is written upon your mind and upon your heart. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now, when you receive God's truth into your heart, God renews your mind and he enables you to think wisely. He enables you to think wisely. And this helps you to make the right decisions. And you will experience the guidance of God day by day. God in his loving providence will direct your life. He will tell you when you're walking in the path, when you have to make decisions, while you're doing God's will, he will tell you exactly what you have to do. Verse 12 says, when you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And then it says in the same verse, and when you run, you will not stumble. That means there are decisions that you make in a pace which is slow. Sometimes you have to make a decision when you're running. And when you run, you will not stumble. So you see, when you go through life, whether the pace is slow, whether the pace is fast, God will give you the wisdom to make the right decisions. And your steps will not be hindered. He will enable you to think wisely, and you make the right decisions, and you experience the guidance of God day by day. And God, in his loving providence, he will direct us and he will prepare the path for us. Augustine said, trust the past to the mercy of God, the present to his love, and the future to his providence. Trust the past to the mercy of God, the present to his love, and the future to his providence. But King David said it far better before Augustine said it. This is what King David said. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16, verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In other words, you will teach me how to walk through this life with the wisdom that comes from you. I can experience your presence. In your presence is fullness of joy. It is so important to experience God's presence while you walk, while you make the decisions in life. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You'll experience God's presence and his power. Now, if you're willing to do God's will, if you're willing to do God's will, you will have God's guidance. John chapter 7, verse 17. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. So if you're willing to do God's will, God will definitely guide you. He will direct you. But if you treat God's will like a buffet lunch and you choose only what you like, only what pleases you, then God will never direct you. You see, the will of God is not for the curious. It's for the serious. The will of God isn't for the curious. It is for the serious. We as God's children can never expect God's leading if we shuttle back and forth between the path of wisdom and the path of the wicked. You can't put your legs in two boats and walk float. You can't. Do not enter the path of the wicked. We are warned here. We are warned, do not enter the path of the wicked. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14 to 17. And do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it and do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. So stay far away from people like that. Stay far away from that path as you can, as much as you can. Stay away from it. Don't enter it. Avoid it. Don't go near it. Go as far from it as you can. Certainly, we must witness to the unsaved people. They are unsaved people, yes. We must witness to the unsaved people whom the Lord brings to us. But we must never adopt their lifestyle. We must never adopt their ways. God does not guide his children when they are walking in darkness. Remember that. God does not guide his children when they are walking in darkness. When you're living in the will of God, what happens is the path gets brighter and brighter, not darker and darker. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. This is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So when you're living in the will of God, the path can only get brighter and brighter, not darker and darker. Now the danger is that we let the lessons of wisdom slip through our fingers and we lose them. That's a great danger. We let the lessons of wisdom that we learn, we let them just slip through our fingers. And what happens? We lose them. It's like, you know, like picking up sand sometimes with your palm. That must not be. Proverbs 4 verse 13 says, take firm hold of instruction. Don't let go. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 13. In other words, hold on to wisdom like you're holding on to a lifeline. Hold on to wisdom the way a child holds a parent's hand and trusts mother or father to guide and protect. God is able to keep us from stumbling. If we'll keep ourselves in his wisdom, God will keep us from stumbling. In Jude 24, we read, Jude 24, now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now the third responsibility that we have in finding God's will for our lives and doing it is to check if we are actually obeying God's will, if we're actually doing God's will. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 27. This is a wonderful paragraph. It's a beautiful paragraph. It's given to us as a personal spiritual inventory to see if you are really living in obedience to the Lord. Let's ask ourselves. Number one, what comes into my ears? Verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Whatever enters my ears will ultimately influence my thinking, my heart, and my decisions. So I'd better be careful what I listen to. The Apostle Paul warns us to beware of obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Be careful what you're listening to. Psalm 1, verse 1 tells us very clearly to avoid ungodly counsel. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now, when people speak, we must be able to identify God's voice and obey what God says. John chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. To him, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So when we are listening to, when we are hearing so many different voices, we must be able to discern God's voice. Verse 5, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So we must learn, cultivate learning to listen to God's voice. And that happens only when you meditate on God's word. You'll know, yes, this is God speaking. And so you'll be able to differentiate from other voices. John chapter 10, verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. John 10, verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. So we must ask ourselves, what is within my heart? What am I listening to? And what is within my heart? Verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. The NIV says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Proverbs 4:23. Whatever the heart loves, the ear will hear and the eyes will see. Proverbs 4, verses 21 to 22. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Therefore, we need to be very careful as to what gets into our ears, what gets into our eyes. Because if we pollute that wellspring, the infection will spread. And then before long, the hidden appetites will become open. It'll become open sin, and it'll be public shame. So the Bible warns us. The Bible warns us to avoid a double heart. Psalm 12, verse 2. They speak idly, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart they speak. The Bible tells us to avoid a double heart. The Bible tells us to avoid a hard heart. Proverbs 28, verse 14. Happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Don't harden your heart what God is telling you. Listen and receive from his word. All of it, all of it. The Bible tells us to avoid a proud heart. Proverbs 21, verse 4. A haughty look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked are sin. The Bible tells us to avoid an unbelieving heart. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And we must not have a cold heart. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. And because of lawlessness, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And we must not have an unclean heart. Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. So, what must we do to get rid of all the dross and the dirt in our heart? We must ask God to put the searchlight on and cleanse us. Cleanse us with his precious blood. Wash away all the dross and the dirt. And we must ask him to make us people after his own heart. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So to do God's will, we must become people whose hearts beat after God's heart. And that's how God saw David's heart. David's heart was so different from Saul's heart. Saul was a double-hearted person, but David was a man who was single-hearted. He was a man whose heart was after God's own heart. Acts chapter 13, verse 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Who will do all my will. So we need to check The next thing that we need to check is what is upon my lips. Proverbs 4:24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Proverbs 4:24. Whatever is in the heart will ultimately come out of the mouth. Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 to 34. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. God's children must be careful to have sound speech that cannot be condemned. Titus chapter 2, verse 8. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. It's important to have speech that's gracious and seasoned with salt. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Now, the ancient Romans, listening to one of their orators, they would look at each other and they would smile and say, cum grano salis, which means take it with a grain of salt. But Christians are not like that. Christians are supposed to put the salt into their speech and keep their words pure, keep their words honest. We'll see in a later chapter, we'll see Proverbs has a great deal to say about human speech. In fact, the word mouth is used over 50 times, and the word lips is used over 40 times in the Authorized Version. Among other things, Solomon warns us about perverse lips. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Proverbs 4:24. Proverbs 4:24. Solomon warns us about lying lips. Proverbs 12, verse 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. Solomon warns us about flattering lips. Proverbs 20, verse 19. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. We are warned about deceptive lips. Flattering lips, deceptive lips. Perverse lips, lying lips, deceptive lips. Proverbs 24, verse 28. Do not be a witness against your neighbor without cause, for would you deceive with your lips? We are warned about undisciplined lips. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Proverbs 13, verse 3. He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. Then, to do God's will, we need to check what is before my eyes. Proverbs 4:25. Proverbs 4:25. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Outlook determines outcome. Abraham was a friend of God because he walked by faith and looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 11, verse 10. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. What happened to Lot? Lot became a friend of the world because he walked by sight and he moved toward the wicked city of Sodom. Genesis chapter 13, verse 10. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that is, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go toward Zoar. Genesis chapter 13, verse 12. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. Everybody has some vision before them. Everybody has some vision before them that helps them to determine their values, their actions, and their plans. And we would all be wise to imitate David, who said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Psalm 101, verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Psalm 101, verse 3. And the writer of Psalm 119 prayed, turn my eyes away from worthless things. Psalm 119, verse 37. So if you're looking unto Jesus as you walk the path of life, then press on and keep that posture of faith continually. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So keep looking unto Jesus by faith. If you look back, or if you look around you, you may go on a detour. Keep your eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Learn to listen to his voice and follow him. Luke 9, verses 61 to 62. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. When did Peter begin to sink? It was when he took his eyes off Jesus. Matthew 14, verses 28 to 30. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Just think of it. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that wind was boisterous, you see, he took his eyes off the Lord. When he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out saying, Lord, save me. Then, to do God's will, we need to ask ourselves, what is beyond my path? Proverbs chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Now, the Hebrew word that is translated ponder, it means to weigh or to make level. It means to weigh or to make level. It is related to a word that means scales. Scales. Proverbs 16, verse 11. Honest weights and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. So the Lord is weighing our ways. He's checking our motives. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. He ponders all his paths. So the Lord weighs our hearts. He weighs our motives. Proverbs 21, verse 2. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. But the Lord weighs the hearts. The Lord also weighs our actions. In Hannah's prayer, she prays like this in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 3. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Actions are weighed. So the Lord weighs our hearts. He weighs our actions. So we better weigh our hearts and actions also. Why do we do what we do? What are our motives behind our deeds? We need to ask ourselves that question. Life is too short. And it's too precious to just be wasted away on the temporary and the trivial things of life. If we are walking in the way of wisdom, God promises to protect our path, to direct our path, and to perfect our path. He promises to protect our path, Proverbs chapter 2. He promises to direct our path, Proverbs chapter 3. He promises to perfect our path, Proverbs chapter 4. All that folly can offer us is danger, detours, disappointments, ultimately leading to death. It shouldn't be too difficult to make the right choice. Make sure you make the right choice. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Over to you.